We find this morning reading in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, on pages 816 on your pew Bibles or on the lower part of page 5 in your worship guide. Last Sunday, we saw how the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, where Jesus had performed most of his signs, had rejected his message and remained unrepented, having rejected the opportunity to be saved. We saw how the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon in Phoenicia, that were known for their Baal worship and arrogant materialism, would have repented, and even Sodom, the city of sin, would have repented if they had all witnessed his miracles and the reality of the kingdom. Today, we're going to meditate on the relationship the Father has with the Son. And we will hear the personal invitation to trust in Jesus and how he can give rest, eternal rest, to all his sick forgiveness through simple commitment to him. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this word. We know it's your word. You've sent your own Son to us. Speak these words. We know, Father, that we live thousands of years later, thousands of miles away. But we know you're the same God. And Lord Jesus, you're the same living Christ, the same God forever. So teach us today. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would press these truths into our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear today. We are all here wanting to hear from you, Lord Jesus. We hear many words throughout the week. We want to hear from you. And we know that we need ears to hear, so help us cut through our biases or our understandings, our preconceived notions. Cut through it all, Holy Spirit, we ask, and shed light on this word. Shed light into our hearts in the dark places we don't want to see. And show us Christ, we pray, Holy Spirit, in his name. Amen. The few, the proud, the Marines. You know that tagline as well as I do. It was a statement used by the United States Marine Corps in many of their commercials and everything they did, and it was meant to express to us that they were the prestigious among all the military branches, right? There's the Army, yeah, the Air Force, yeah, but the Marines, the few, the proud, the elite among all those in the military. In our text today, if God were to be have a recruiting slogan for the church, it'd probably be the exact opposite. God's recruiting slogan for the church would probably be something like this: the weak, the lowly, the Christians. The weak, the lowly, the Christians. I'm convinced that's the tagline would be because of our text today. And we see that in what Jesus prayed in verse 25, don't we? Notice that this is a prayer. Jesus is praying for this verses 25 and 26. And as Joel said, it comes right on the heels of these statements that these cities where he had been doing his miracles had rejected him largely. And it was largely the leaders, the religious leaders, who were rejecting him. And then he says these words in this prayer in verses 25 to 26. Notice closely what he says. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Notice what Jesus prayed here. He was thanking the Father for something. What was he thanking the Father for? He thanked the Father for comprising his church or composing it of the weak and low people. In other words, it was God's design for his church to make up the church with weak and low people of the world rather than the strong and the proud people of the world. And notice Jesus thanked the Father for that because he had done it that way. How had he done it? Well, notice Jesus says, "You've hidden these things from the wise and understanding, but you've revealed them to little children." Now, who are the wise and understanding that Jesus was talking about? These were the people who were wise and had understanding in their own eyes, and probably in the eyes of the world in many ways, in many cases. They were the people who were above other people in their achievements and success. They were probably the people that were even proud of their achievements and success. They had done well. They were self-sufficient. They depended on their intelligence and their wisdom. And notice what Jesus says the Father does to such people. He's hidden these things from them. Hidden these things. What things? The things of the message of the kingdom and the gospel. The religious leaders of the day were probably a lot that had Jesus had on his mind. The Pharisees and the scribes who had rejected him in the chapters we have read previously. They didn't see it. They wouldn't see it. They were the wise and the understanding. But notice Jesus also thanks the Father for revealing the kingdom to who? End of verse 25. "But you've revealed these things," or them, "to little children." Who are the little children? Well, the word literally refers to a little child who's probably 3 or 4 years old. But it's most likely a metaphor Jesus was using, as he often did with children in this way, to say this is someone who's needy and dependent. Those in society who are low, those who are humble and all they can do is depend on others for what they need. That's what a child does, right? A child needs parents at that age to feed, clothe, everything that a child needs. And so they were the truly humble and low and dependent ones in the society. And it wasn't a false humility. It was a genuine neediness. They don't survive if they don't have parents. And so Jesus, notice, is saying that it was the Father's gracious will to reveal his kingdom to these people, who? The lowly and the weak and the needy. And Jesus is praising the Father for that. "I thank you, Father, that it is your good pleasure and will to do it this way, that you've brought down the high and proud and arrogant, and you've lifted the needy and the low." He's opened the eyes of those who are low and weak. He reveals and gives the kingdom to the low and weak and those who are nothing people, like us. In other words, God makes up his kingdom this way. And it's described that way in other parts of the New Testament, right? Jesus said this, but he also revealed this to others in the New Testament, his apostles Paul, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. In a letter to the Corinthians, Paul said this, and many of you know these words. Listen to what he says to these followers of Jesus in Corinth. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Notice how God made up his church, the recruiting slogan again: the weak, the low, the Christian. You know, we always want splendor, don't we? We go to it like a bug to light. We want splendor, we want impressive, we want powerful, and it leaks into the church so many times. We want impressiveness, we want power, we want success. But nothing could be more inconsistent with what Jesus and the rest of the New Testament tells us about his church in this age and the world that we live in. Jesus, our leader and Lord, was rejected and despised by the world. Throughout history, Christians have for the most part been rejected and despised, the weak and the low. So let me just pause for a minute with that thought here and think about that. Are you weak and low today? Feel like a failure? Seem like all the attempts that you have end up to be dismal failures? Everywhere you turn, you're confronted with your weakness? If so, these words are really good news for you. And they're meant to be that way, because Christ meant to draw people into the kingdom who are at that place and see their need. That's exactly where we're called to be. We have to be, because God composes his church of the weak and the low people, and Jesus thanks the Father for doing it this way, and he works with the Father. He's in union and concert with the Father in this. Did you notice that in verse 27? Powerful words of who Christ, this Jesus Christ, is. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus is saying, I'm in concert with the Father. We are one and united in this purpose. And no one knows him but through me. I'm acting as this agent of the Father in the world to reveal him, and I will reveal him to the same way the Father reveals to the weak, to the low. And then he says these words in verses 28 through 30, and he gives promises. Notice he calls the weak and the lowly, and he gives the weak and the lowly promises to draw them to himself. He's out to, if you're going to say Jesus is a marketing niche aiming for people, he's aiming for the weak and the low, those who know they're weak and lowly. And he's aiming at them with these promises. And he gives promises to the weak and lowly, three that I want you to notice. One, he promises rest for the weak. Secondly, he promises compassion for the weak. And thirdly, he promises good for the weak. So he promises rest for the weak, compassion for the weak, and good for the weak. Notice he promises rest for the weak in verses 28 and 29. Notice what he says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Notice Jesus says he gives rest to those who are low and weak. And notice it's a specific kind of rest. It's a rest for the soul, right? And there's a difference between rest for the body and the soul, isn't there? You know that. You find rest for your body by stopping work, sitting down, and having a drink of water or getting something to eat. You take a break. If you're doing physical labor, you sit down and take a break. If you're doing mental labor, you're in front of your computer, you stop, you go do something else, you take the dog for a walk, you do something else to get away and get rest for your body. But you also know that those things don't necessarily give rest to the soul. Rest to the body doesn't necessarily give rest to the soul, and you can see evidence of that If you've ever been lying in bed at night, completely in a restful state, but not been able to sleep because of anxiety in the soul. Have you ever had that? My body's resting, but my soul sure isn't. It's in turmoil right now. There's a different kind of rest that the soul has. The soul can be distressed and anxious and in turmoil while the body rests. So Jesus said, I'm here and I came to give rest for the soul. And he promises to give rest for the soul. How did Jesus give rest for the soul? Well, we notice by what he says in verse 28 at the beginning. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Notice there's a thing that's needed to get this rest for the soul, and it's come to me. Come to me, you who are laboring or heavy laden. In other words, come to me with your weight pressing in on your soul, the anxiety you've got on your soul, distress that's coming there, especially you who are distressed and burdened and anxious about your own heart and soul and knowing how you are and you don't want to be and know you ought not to be. Things you do, the things you think, the things you look at that you know are just evil, that you know are wrong and it's burdening you. Your conscience is racked. If you're in that state, Jesus said, heavily burdened in that way, come to me. And it's a promise. If you come to me, I will give you rest. So what does it mean to come to him? Well, Jesus explains that statement in verse 29, doesn't he? Take my yoke upon you. This is what it means to come to me. Take my yoke upon me and upon you and learn from me. In other words, come to me is not just, he's not saying, you know, if you want to have rest for your soul, say a prayer and you'll get it. He's not talking about this rest for the soul coming like taking a pill for a headache. Jesus doesn't mean simply make a quick prayer and the cosmic druggist will come in and ease your soul and you'll be able to sleep at night. No, Jesus is talking about something much more than that because of the metaphor that he used to describe what coming to him is. And he notice the metaphor he used. Take my yoke upon you. He's talking about a yoke. What does Jesus mean when he says take on a yoke? Well, a literal yoke, as many of you know throughout history, we don't use them as much anymore unless you're on a farm or agriculturally, even not the same way, but it used to be a piece of wood or leather that was strapped on to an animal to be able to pull a cart. And it became a metaphor for someone who was brought into the service of another. In 1 Timothy, Paul uses the word, the metaphor of a yoke that way, in saying that you are under the yoke as a bondservant for a master or a boss. You're coming under the master's service. So consider what Jesus is saying when he says, take my yoke upon you. Come to me and take my yoke. What is he talking about? He's saying, come and be my disciple. Come under my call and submit to me, trust me, love me, come into this relationship with me and learn from me. So Jesus is really, this is a call to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of him. To trust him with your whole life and being, to submit to him with your whole life and being, and to walk with him and love him all the days of your life. It's a call to be a disciple of his and walk with him, and that's where you'll find rest from your soul. And that's often where we can get off track. I know many people can look at these words and think, well, he says, come to me and I'll have rest for your soul. Okay, Lord, I need rest. I'm anxious tonight. I'm going to say this prayer as I said earlier. Maybe you're going through some anxiety and people can pull this out or think about it in their times of anxiety in their lives. They may have lost a spouse or lost a child or been in a traumatic situation and say Jesus gives rest and they go to him, they pray, they don't feel any rest. And they walk away and say, didn't work. I tried it. Jesus must not be telling the truth because it just doesn't make sense. I came to him that night when I was in need and said this prayer and nothing happened. As if there's a magic that's supposed to happen. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not the way it works. When I say come to me, I'm saying take my yoke upon yourself and learn of me. Walk with me, trust me, love me. Come under my care as your shepherd. Come under my loving embrace to take care of you and submit to me your whole life and existence, and I will remove your sin and watch over you and provide for you and protect you. This is where you find rest for your soul, in me, in relationship with me, walking with me, trusting me. It's a daily trust. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We talked about that when we started back in chapter 8. Remember, it's knowing this Jesus, trusting him, loving him, walking with him in a daily relationship of knowing him, hearing him in his word, talking to him in prayer, and walking with him daily, saying, Lord Jesus, what should I do? What would you want me to do to glorify you in this situation? Jesus gives rest to the soul by bearing the punishment of our sin and guilt and promising to be our good shepherd who will protect us and nurture us and lead us. And we'll find rest for our souls in no other way, he says. That's what he's saying here. If you want rest for your soul, come to me, take my yoke upon me, on yourself, and follow me and trust me. You won't find rest for your soul any other way. As long as you want to be master of your own soul and don't take my yoke upon you, you will not have rest from your soul. You will try to be God yourself. You'll try to run your own life, and you'll end up probably manipulating many things to try to make it work the way that you want it to work. Tim Keller said this once, and I think it was a great line. It's stressful to be God. If you've got to run the world in your whole life, it's stressful. So that's where Jesus said, don't even try that. Come to me. Come under my yoke. I'll take care of you. I'll give you what you need. As long as you think you can do it, you're going to have stress, and your soul is going to have turmoil. Yes, you'll have times of peace when you have a success for a moment, but you'll have turmoil. If you want rest, come to me. You won't have rest chasing your dreams. You won't have rest being the best in your field. You won't have rest being successful in your career. You won't have rest having the right husband or the right wife or the children in the kingdom or anything else. Success in the world, pursuing good causes, it will not give rest for the soul. Jesus said, come to me. I'll give you rest for the soul. And it's the weak, the broken, the lowly who come to him who will truly find rest because they say, Lord, I'm yours. I have nothing. I can only live at your word and command and depend on you. Nourish me and give me what I need. So this is why the weak and lowly come to Jesus, because he tells them they can enter his kingdom when they're low. Come to him when you're burdened and you're weary, and he'll bring you in as a disciple and give you rest. So first thing he promises to the weak is rest. But notice he also promises the weak compassion. You see that in verse 29. Notice again what he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Notice what he's telling all who come to him. This is my character and nature and how I'm going to respond to you and treat you. I am one who is gentle and lowly. Gentle means, to state it in the negative, he's not harsh. He's not trigger happy or easily exasperated. You can say he has compassion on the ignorant and the weak. That's who he's calling. Many masters or bosses you may have in the world are not compassionate people. They become easily frustrated or impatient with slow and ignorant people. Maybe you've had a boss like that. A boss who's not compassionate gets easily frustrated with an employee who's slow or lazy or doesn't catch on in the training. That kind of boss is impatient and says, we got to get rid of this person. Put him on some program, give him 6 weeks, and get him out of here. But notice Jesus says, that's not how I'm going to treat you if you come to me. I'm gentle. When you come under my yoke, I have compassion. I'm patient with the weak. Patiently loving, long-suffering, and gentle. And notice he also says, I'm lowly in heart. What does it mean? Well, this word for lowly here is often used in the New Testament to speak of being humble, or not just false humility put on, but real humility in the sense of being in a low position again. So the point Jesus is making about himself is that he's accessible. And that's what he did when he came into the world, right? He's the second person of the Godhead, all glory with the Father from eternity, and he stepped down to take on a human nature and stepped down in a low position, even being born in a stable, being placed in a manger, in a feeding trough for animals, and living among people as one who's homeless and low. He was available and accessible to any sinner who came to him. And that shows in the Gospels, right? You read the Gospels, you find out he's accessible, all right. It was the despised and the sinful and the lowly who came to him, and he always willingly received them. No hoops to jump through, no prerequisites. Open to all, the lowliest. It was precisely what drew the weak and the lowly, right? If he would have been hanging out with the Pharisees and in the high up places in his ivory tower, people would not have approached him. But you read the Gospels, you see who approached him. And why was it? Because he was gentle and lowly. He came to open the kingdom to the lowliest people. It's precisely the weak and the lowly that came to him. The weak and the low come under his yoke because they see, here's a different master than I've got in the world. I am lowly and have made a mess of my life. And here's the one who will bring me in. And that's refreshing after you've been pushing and kicking. You know, several years ago, I met a young man. It was very interesting background. Some of you here know him. He became a Christian out of a life of Satan worship. For many of his years as a young man, he worshiped the devil outright. And he became a believer. Our paths crossed at one point, so I talked to him and asked him how that happened. How did God save you? And it was an interesting story that he told me. He said, you know what? Since I was very young, I was always kicking, fighting, kicking against anything, authority, resisting all the time. He said, at one point, got into my late teens, early 20s, I was exhausted. I was broken and exhausted. He said, it was then, after all that I saw that I was weak and helpless and came under Christ's yoke. The one who was gentle and lowly. Because he found a different master there, right? The devil will drive you to destruction. And that's what he's out to do. The devil is a terrible master. Don't ever be convinced otherwise. He'll drive you to successes or things in your life in many directions, and he has nothing out but to destroy you. He's a bad master. He's a taskmaster. Jesus says, it's not the kind of master I am. I'm gentle and lowly, have compassion on those who come to me. Come to me. If you're weak and lowly and you're tired, you're exhausted like this young man, come to me. I'm not going to drive you into the ground. That's important for us to know, especially as Christians, isn't it? Because something happens that you've seen and I've seen in my own life, you know it. You hear the call. At some point in your life, you hear this call and it strikes you how Jesus really loves you. And it's powerful and it draws you. And you say, wow, he really does love me. Like, I can't believe it, but what a great Savior. And so you're drawn to him and you follow him and that drives you to want to serve him and obey him in everything you do. And then you quickly see that your sins, the old sin patterns and things that you've been doing before, creep up and are still there. And you're fighting against them, but you know you fail many times. And you don't just fail once, but it's again and again. It's cyclical. And after a while, you start to think, you know, I think he's tired of this. I would be. I'd be tired of me coming back again and again. You know what? Don't come back to me till you get your act together. And you feel that, right? As a matter of fact, John Calvin said this, commentary in Isaiah. Listen to John Calvin said, there's nothing more that troubles our conscience than when we think God is like ourselves. Nothing troubles our conscience more than to feel like he's like us going, I'm tired of this. But Jesus says, don't think I'm like yourself. I'm not like you. Remember what I'm like, gentle and lowly, patient, kind. That's what I'm like, and that's what he always will be like. He was like that toward you. He is like that toward you, and he always will be like that toward you. That's his demeanor toward you, period. He is the one who's gentle and lowly. That's why weak and lowly people come to him. Because weak and lowly people know they need someone extremely patient, a master who's extremely patient. And that's why Dane Ortlund wrote a book recently called Gentle and Lowly. Many of you have seen it. It's a very popular book. Crossway put it out, and it was their best-selling book ever, Gentle and Lowly. And his whole reason for writing the book was to focus on this character trait of Jesus Christ. And it's good. It feeds your soul. I would encourage you to read it if you haven't already. Jesus Christ is gentle and lowly, and we need to be reminded of that again and again. So Jesus promises not only rest for our souls, but he also promises compassion because of his character and nature. But thirdly, notice he promises good to the weak. Notice that in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? We can stumble on those words, right? Jesus was telling weak and low people, you don't need to be afraid of my yoke. He just told them, take up my yoke. I'm gentle and lowly. And the first thing a weak person's probably going to think is, am I going to be able to stand up under that yoke? Am I going to be able to pull my weight? If you're weak and you've always failed, you don't have a good confidence in your track record, right? And so you can hear the yoke and say, it can be demoralizing to think, now I'm taking up Christ's yoke and I'm going to fail at that one too. And you may think, well, how will I ever live up to that yoke, the demands that Jesus gives? I've failed at every other demand. How am I going to hold up under this one? What can be different? Jesus anticipates that response. That's why he tells us something about his yoke in verse 30. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's not saying that when you follow me, your life is going to be pain-free and no hardship. Following Jesus will often bring hardship and pain. But he was saying his yoke is going to be different than the previous burden and yoke that they lived under. Right? Think about it. Because he's really telling them to give up one yoke for another in a strange way. Did you notice that? In verse 29, he says to me, come to me, all you who labor. You're working. You're under a yoke already of labor. And take up my yoke. So it's like, give up one burden for another. That doesn't sound very inviting, does it? But he has to tell them, but my yoke's different. It's a different kind of yoke. The burden's different. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And when he says my yoke is easy, it's a good yoke. It's a kind yoke. It's a yoke of kindness. This word easy is also used in Romans chapter 2 and Ephesians 4. Of kindness. Be kind to one another. And God's kindness leads us to repentance. It's a different kind of yoke than the burden you had before, because it's a burden that's different in, it's a yoke of kindness. All the bad and harmful things from it are removed. Matthew Henry, the commentator, says it like this. It's not a hard yoke to harm us, but it's a yoke lined with love. It's not a yoke that increases your burden and pushes the pain on you, but it lightens your burden. Think about it. In the book Gentle and Lowly, Ortlund says it like this. What helium does to a balloon, Jesus' yoke does to his followers. It lifts them, strengthens them, because it's his yoke and there's nothing bad in it. All the bad and the curse have been removed from it, and nothing but good in this yoke. And that's why it's good news to us who are gentle or who are low and weak. The one who's gentle and lowly puts his burden on us. Even when you fail in this yoke, the burden will not crush you. Under his yoke, you cannot fail, because he's removed the harm and the crushing burden of the yoke by himself. Jesus took the crushing weight of burden on himself. Jesus was crushed for your iniquity, so you're not crushed by his burden. His burden is light, because he bears the burden of sin and guilt and shame. He bears it. So God's recruiting slogan for the church, we have to remember: the weak, the low, the Christian. God's design is that. That's his plan for the church. That's who he's going to build the church upon. Those who come to him and trust only in him and look to him for their goodness. So if you're weak and low today, remember these words. Come to him. He's gentle and lowly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Oh, Jesus, we need to hear of your character and nature again and again and again. So please press these words on our hearts today. I ask specifically that you'd press them on hearts that are weighed down today, weighed down with guilt. And Lord, lift them. Come to them. We pray, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen.